गणपति गुम हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदा शिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन क्रथिता पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यां तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो नमस्कार, थैंक यू एवरीबडी फॉर कमिंग टुडे। वन पॉइंट कंटिन्यूएशन स्मॉल चैट वी वर हैविंग जस्ट बिफोर द क्लास। One very great teacher that I know, when he talks also, and he is a very great established teacher, you know, has been living these teachings, knows them and everything. Some sannyasi that goes around teaches everywhere. He says, when I talk, obviously if I'm talking, I have the need to talk, you know, secondary to the other person hearing, because when you do something, because you have the impulse, the need. And he says, and who's the first one who hears it? I'm the first one who hears it, because I'm the first one who hears. So that's why whenever we have class, I'm very thankful for anybody that comes, because you'll hear this regularly once in a while. I say it, I'm doing my mananam, that's what I can do. So because you're here, I can do mananam, and I can hear it, and I can churn in my mind. So because you're here, I get to do more mananam. So I'm very thankful for your being here for that. You benefit from it too, I very much pray so, that I can't, that's not in my hands, of course. If you benefit some from it, then wonderful. That's the intention too, obviously, but that's why I'm thankful, because then I look into this more. So in any case, let's just look at the verse that we reached. We'll chant and then discuss a little bit where we're at. So we're in verse 41, okay? So I'll chant pada by pada, so you can chant after, because if we were together, I could see how everybody chants. We either chant together or... but I don't know, so I'll chant pada by pada, number 41. So it's right in the middle of the book here, page 48, if you have the book that we have. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi Ekeha kuru nandana बहुशाखाह्यनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनां। So this is saying, O Arjuna, there is only one clear understanding in this field. However, the notions of those without clarity are many branched and endless. So let's just look a little in context where we're at in order to start discussing this verse, Sri Krishna's teachings. So we started the whole study of Gita giving the background. Chapter 1 we didn't go into, we gave the gist, the background. The background is showing the first chapter they call Arjuna Vishada Yoga, which we can also call Arjuna Samsara Yoga. Right? What is Vishada? We can say depression, disenchantment, something like this. But what is in the end? Samsara, like this. And then we looked from this perspective, what is the samsara? What do we mean by that? And here we said, well, we can see three symptoms of it. The three symptoms we said first is raga, the attachment. Stronger attachment to something, then this is going to cause greater symptoms to come up. So first was raga, because his attachment, he has no problem with his cousin brothers, that's not a problem. He has a problem because his great-grandsire and teacher are on the other side like this. This is the problem. Because Bhishma Pitamaha and because of Dronacharya there. This is the attachment. Because he can fight anybody, but this one now because his personal attachment. So raga. And then from that comes shoka. Stronger raga, stronger shoka. Stronger attachment, stronger the mental anguish is going to be from this. Like this. Because something I don't care about as much, okay. You know, like now, what's going on in our country, some known person, this big trial, nobody's going to care. Because somebody that people think high, some people think highly of a certain person in trial, then things coming up, emotional things coming up from both sides, people for them, like this. So the raga does it. The raga does so like this. Right? That's why judges have to learn to be impartial. Very difficult job to be impartial. But in any case, so the main thing, raga brings the shoka. And for us, it's not for judging the world. We're looking at ourselves. This is for, you know, swadhyaya. We study ourselves, the world, just in order to, as example, to look at ourselves. So shoka. And then from that moha, the delusion also comes. Because the mind already isn't clear, then I can see things in a backwards way. I don't see it clearly anymore, like this. And then what happens with Arjuna, he says, now this dharmic war, he changes it. They're doing it out of desire for being, for ruling. This is where he's saying, because once the mind is not clear, then we can, then all of our logic is based on, not based on a solid base, not on clear thinking. So this is what happens. And then, so he has this problem. So he asks Shri Krishna to please help him. And he also says, you know, that I am deluded, what's my duty? So this is the samsara we started with. So now Shri Krishna has to help Arjuna, that asks for his help. And so he said he's helping him in three different levels, which we went all through all three of those. That was where we reached to up till now, where first of all, the root problem he was going to deal with, because dealing with the root problem will solve it for good. This is actually something very important. You know, when you go to the doctor, you go to the doctor because, you know, you may go for a few visits, depending on what you have, but you want it so the problem is solved. Not so you have to go back every other week or every month, right? You want to go as needed, fix, and then you don't want to see the doctor. You want to send them a Christmas card or something, and that's it. You don't want to or do a checkup once a year, or twice a year, say, how are you doing, and everything. Maybe some medication I have to take, adjusted, and finished. You don't want to to be on their regular list. So, you know, when you have the illness, yes, you're seeing a lot as needed. So this is something also, if Shri Krishna is going to help him a little bit, and then Arjuna is going to have to come back to him whenever there's some major problem, then he didn't totally help him with the root problem. Because the root problem is samsara, to root out samsara within ourselves. The virus within myself, like this, not the external world. So this is for dealing with the root problem, we talked to him about Vedanta, which he talked very nicely, and he's going to continue so much throughout the Gita. But this is how we start. Gatasuna katasunscha natusho chanti panditaha. We discussed this whole thing, all the different aspects of Atma. And if you missed No worries, Shri Krishna won't let go of that. He'll go back to it again and again, because that's the root, going to the root of the problem. Good, so that's first. Then he took it from worldly perspective. First of all, dharmic perspective, where he said, okay, now, and this we did in short in one class, the next two, because they're of a lower tiers. Dharmic is the second. And here he was explaining why it's his duty. When the duty calls, we have no choice. That it's not because he was saying this, he used the word dharmya. Dharmya yuddha chreyon yaha chatriyasyana vidyate, something like this. Sorry if I have a mistake there. He was saying it's a call of duty. It's not a call of because you want to or feel like, but you have a call of duty, right? You raised your children, you have a call of duty, you had to do things, not out of choice. Once you're there, you know, he had a choice to, you know, choice to go and study. It's true, he was sent to study with Dronacharya, but still, choice, okay, I'm going to go through, I'm going to study well, I'm going to continue with this. So he became Kshatriya, became warrior. Now that that's his position, the call of duty is there. He doesn't have a choice anymore in that. And then by not doing, then it's going to be cause problems. And that also if he also from lower level of dharma also told him, well, look, you have the best place. If you win the war, you'll enjoy rulership. If you die, you're going to go to you'll go to a very good place because you stuck to this very important, difficult duty. So no problem like this. So from dharma perspective. And then also for those who from lowest level, laukika, worldly level, what happens is, if somebody doesn't have any shraddha in something beyond this life, I'm born by chance. Everything, life is just because of my consciousness is some chemical in my brain. When it shuts down, gone for good. Cradle to grave, we say. Somebody like this too, he said, if you have this attitude, then also it'll be a problem because you have great fame. You're known very well. You enjoy a certain position, but by turning away, people aren't going to say you turned away because you had compassion. They'll start saying you had fear, you couldn't face this. All the great stories about Arjuna, the great warrior, were just, you know, fake news made up like this. And it's not going to just be now they're going to speak very badly to you. Now you're going to be dishonored, but since you're very well known and this is the great war, then in annals of history, you're going to go down like this. So generations to come are going to remember you like this. Is that how you want to be remembered? So from worldly perspective, our reputation will be lost also. This is what he's saying there. So this is the worldly one, he said. So these three, so from all these levels, he explained to him why it's important he faces fights, meaning why we have to face our duties like this. In this perspective. So this is where we reached. Then last week, Shri Krishna turned to another chapter now. So now, okay, he has to fight. He explained to him the reasons why. Now, what happens then, how to fight? This is the next thing. How do you fight? Because this is also an important thing. He has to pull himself together to do it. So he was telling him that the main point you're saying, samatvam. Now you have to do it. Since you're doing an action, the action has to be done as karma yoga. This is what he started. That you have to, one of the main points Gita is pointing out, is samatvam, having the balance as we're facing things. As Swami Paramarthanandaji, I'll refer to a lot, he's the one whose text we're using as translation here, as he likes to point out, a lot of the time, is that what's needed then, we talk about IQ. We have the test for IQ, intellect quotient, I believe, or intelligence quotient. That this one, we have tests for this. And then accordingly, we can see how what we call in the academic smart one is maybe, or intelligent, it's within a certain sphere, of course, with certain parameters. So this one can be very useful for certain things. But here he calls it, you need EQ, right? The emotional quotient or emotional quota. What happens is here, samatvam isn't an intellectual thing. Because the example we gave the last time, if you take it from the student's perspective, somebody is very smart and knows the subject very well. They go to the final exam, right? 8 questions they have to answer. The first one he reads, or she reads. Oh, I really don't know. I studied everything, but just this one chapter I'm not clear on. I kind of understand. So they get panicky. They get so panicky, they're not sure what to do this, so they start moving to the next questions. But since they're worried, even though the other questions they know perfectly, they're worried now they can't do it well. And they don't do well in the exam. Where somebody else sees the first one, doesn't know well. Okay, let me write the few things I know. Second one knows a little better. Okay, let me do. They're not worried. Though they don't know the subject matter as well, they do better in the exam. So because they had more samatvam, then more clear knowledge of it like this. This makes a big difference. And for myself in this thing, I'll tell you, because I lived in the ashram. When I came out, it was very difficult, very strange to go to work. You work for money. You have to have this time to this time. It was a very strange thing. It took a little bit of adjustment to do that. You just work, you do what's needed. Now suddenly you have to do in time and this. So I went to an interview and it felt very strange, you know, very strange thing to do. Then I thought about it and I said, okay, when I go to an interview, those people are sitting there, doesn't matter what the external thing is, they just want to go to work and, you know, they want to make money, obviously, but they just want to get along. They want to have a good day. They want to have people around that they enjoy to chat with, that they're getting along with. That's really what they want at the end of the day. Everybody just wants to have a good day today. That's their, and then tomorrow, good day, and just enjoy their life. That's what they want. So for me to be all nervous about the people sitting there just like me, like that, just coming and doing their thing. So that made me just relax whenever I had interviews. And since then, almost every over my the few interviews, whatever it was, 8 or whatever throughout my whole life, I don't even remember. Then, always did very well and usually got the job and that's it. Because, not that I knew the thing, but because of this, exactly, this emotional quotient kind of thing. Because then the people see, oh, this... Yeah, this thing, I didn't work for it so much, but I could probably do it like this. Things like this, you say. And more your attitude and how you're melding with people, that's more important, even though these are technical. It's not for a social work or advisor or something, but for technical work, because that's an important thing, such an important thing like this. So just this one small example like this, you know, so all that we can all see in our lives how this can be applied. So the whole thing now, got to karma yoga, how to do this, remain equivalent throughout, sorry, the equilibrium throughout whatever we're doing. This is the important thing. Of course, if jnana is there, no problem. Then the equilibrium will be natural. It's kind of like rooted deep enough, nothing's going to move the tree. But in the meantime, okay, jnana isn't there. So as we discussed last time, we said, okay, now what happens is this. In the end, I want to have a good day is the shallow look at it. That's the simple worldly one. But I want to be free. I don't want to be disturbed. I want full peace, full contentment. I want moksha. This is what I want. So this is what everybody wants in the end. That's the bottom line. Okay, I want moksha. What I need to do to get moksha? Well, in the end here, as Shri Krishna is explaining, I need to understand. Because the simple math, that if I do so many things, it will build up to something. Whatever builds up to eventually is going to, no matter what that is, eventually it's going to go away. So if moksha is arrived at through karma, through certain accumulated activities, means that later it can also go away. It's not going to just stay for good because, you know, that's... Anybody who learned a little bit of math, fourth grade math, is going to say, yes, no numbers can reach infinity. Maybe sixth grade, whatever grade you have. So no matter how much punyam, no matter how much I do, that can't create moksha. If it created, it'd be uncreated. So it can't be through that. So you can't become infinite, unchanging. Either you are or you aren't. Bottom line. You can't become something like this. So now then, meaning that Vedanta is pointing out, that's why jnanam is needed, the understanding. The problem here is problem of understanding. It's okay, so I need to understand, have a clear understanding of myself, have proper viveka, right? Atma anatma viveka, this is what I need. Okay, so atma anatma viveka, we've listened a few months, how? Shri Krishna is explaining about this. Now what happens is, okay, so we hear, but still we don't grasp it like this. We took one verse, most of you weren't in the class yet, where he was saying how that even though we hear about, even though we study about, still we don't get it, still nobody understands. So we took that for a few weeks and we just discussed why we don't understand. And we said because we need the proper qualification, the jnana yogyata qualification for this. And then we said we need for that the viveka, right? Atma and atma viveka, discrimination between what I am in essence and what I'm not in essence. What is constantly there, what's not always there, like this. And again, any of these things, don't worry, it will be repeated as we go along. Also in the recordings, it's there. And we need vairagya, we need dispassion, because raga, vairagya is same as viraga, the opposite of attachment. And why attachment? Due to some misunderstanding who I am. So viveka, vairagya go together. So that's also needed as a qualification. I need to have some focused discipline, like this. That's why we have the shatsampat, the shama, dhamma, uparati, etc. That I have to have a direction, focused attention in something. The mind is not stable, it's very hard to look into these things. And then I need mumukshutva. If I have a casual desire, let me check out what Vedanta is saying. It seems interesting. Let me now compare it to Vishishtadvaita and to Buddhism. And let me look in this and this, and it seems interesting. Then we'll get some intellectual benefit, maybe a little bit of a benefit, like somebody who exercises on weekends for an hour like this. Where to really look into and really have it have a, you know, really have a strong effect, meaning needs, one has to really look into it very deeply, has to really have a very strong desire to look into this, because it's like the, here in California, the, very well known for the salmons that swim upstream. They go back some upstream, up waterfalls. It's amazing. Some places they purposefully, when they learned about this for environmental purposes, purposely leave the areas that they can swim upwards, because otherwise, you know, the whole ecosystem for them goes away. How hard they would swim upstream to go back to there where they were born to, you know, give birth to the next generation. So this way, because everything else in the world really is flowing in a different direction, as we'll be discussing more, then one really needs to have a very strong desire to look at this, to look differently. Otherwise, one can't break beyond this barrier, like beyond the... A nice simile for this I like is the rockets. When people talk about some things, they say, oh, you know, this is very difficult to learn or to do. Then people say it's not rocket science, because rocket science, to have the rocket, you know, have the right direction, energy, everything in order to break beyond the Earth's gravity is not easy. So then what I like about that simile is say, well, what is Vedanta? Vedanta is rocket science. you don't say it isn't rocket science, because the precision to break beyond the gravity of ahankara, of my identifications as this individual, is not easy. And then, just like you can learn to be a rocket scientist, I'm sure there are many good universities, even YouTube will help some to learn to do this. So same way we can learn this too, and they're just like the universities that will teach these things for, you know, bright graduate students. Same way Vedanta has the methodology for this, with the Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, like this. It has the method too. It's not that it's not there. So to pierce beyond this. So this is what's needed then for this. So what happens then is, so the jnana yogyata, we discussed the fourfold means for liberation, sadhana chaturshtayam of Adi Guru Shankara. You can look at the recordings or we can discuss another time. But here now for this is discussing about Karma Yoga for this. Karma Yoga then is the preparation. Because what happens is, when I do activity, I'm doing the activity, and then here he has to do an activity, Arjuna, and the activity now is causing a problem, like this. So that's saying, okay, how will the activity be helpful for my growth instead of getting in the way of the growth? So this is where he's at here. And so what happens then is, okay, for Jnana Yogyata, then Karma Yoga. So we work backwards, working forwards. I do Karma Yoga. All my actions I learn to do as an act of Karma Yoga, which we'll be discussing in the next few classes. And then from this, you get the preparation. The ground is built that the mind, the antakaranam, mind is a more of a generic term, when antakarana is giving a more specific, maybe a better term for what we're talking about, the inner instrument, which then we have different, has different functions, right? The different functions of the mind, the intellect, buddhi, manaha, the thinking, we're churning things around. There's ahankara, the identity in there. And there's also citta, the memory. All these are within this one internal instrument that I have. So to prepare this one, citta shuddhi, so it's a proper instrument, so then this understanding can be more clear. Then from understanding be more clear, then from that understanding, then I can be free. This is the idea, like this. Because in the end we say it's a lack of understanding. So one thing here also in this verse, he says, vyavasayatmika buddhihi. Here buddhi is going to mean the understanding, not the intellect, but the understanding itself. So having a clear understanding, this is what he's talking about. Because he's saying, most people don't have the clear understanding. Clear understanding like this, what are we really after? What do I really want? Like this. I remember, I'll tell you the story I like about this, what do I really want? When I was in our Shivananda Center in New York, like 30 years back, maybe now it would be. Then I went to one place that probably doesn't exist anymore, like a Best Buy type place for electronics, to get a tape deck for the yoga center. We play music, at whatever mantras like this, where people come in for registration. So that place was called The Wiz. I don't know if it's a chain or one place in Manhattan. So I went there, and they had a big advertisement. And I read the advertisement, and I said, wow, I've used it so many times in talks afterwards, because it said like this. It has the pictures of all the gadgets. Then, of course, the big gadget then was Discman. The Walkman was already old style. Discman, I think, was the new thing, like this. So then it said like this, what do you really want? Right? What do you really need? What are you going to do about it? Oh no, what are you waiting for? What are you going to do about it? So from their perspective, you know, of course, okay, what am I waiting for? I'll buy that gadget and I'll be very happy with it and whatever. But you think about, what do I really want? What do I really need? Like this, what am I waiting for? What will I do about it? Well, so, you know, this is very interesting. So here, this Shravanam, this is for looking into it. This is the interesting thing. Yes, there is something I can do about it. So in any case, so the clarity of what things are for. People go to spiritual sadhana, and what is the sadhana really for needs to be clear. Because, as we said, an action will not bring you to moksha. So here saying how karma yoga, how activity will help to prepare as a preparation. Preparing for entry exam, like that. It's not the actual jnanam, it's the preparation, which is necessary too. Without the preparation, you can't do it properly, like this. You know, at home, I'm the assigned dough maker for making chapatis. So I'm pretty good at it. I have, you know, 2.5 decades training now. So usually it's good, but sometimes the chief chef, she says, no, you didn't make it good this time. You know, it's too hard or it's too liquidy, right? Preparation wasn't done well, so it has to be so I have to go back and fix it. Or the master chef knows, as you know, Smita and Raji are probably master chefs as well, I'm guessing. Maybe you guys too, but I've seen usually the Indian ladies have a special siddhi in the kitchen. So what happens then is, you know, she's the master chef, she'll get along, she'll make something good with it anyway, like this. So in this way, but the preparation then necessary. So here then the action, how the action they will be necessary. So we have to understand the other sadhanas. People do all sorts of other sadhanas. They have to remember that what it's for. And really they're for a few things. One is mala, the impurity in my mind needs to be cleared out because I'm too caught up in all sorts of small stuff. Being caught up, getting upset at small things, getting impatient at small things, very attached to some little unimportant things, these things, how am I going to look at something greater? So for clearing this, this is number one. So Karma Yoga is very good for this. Then I have Vikshepa, I have an unsteady mind. Avyasayatmika Buddhi here is saying unsteady, unsteady mind, unsteady attention. You know, for this Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga are very helpful. Because Raja Yoga, I learn to gather my attention, bring my attention back. Because, you know, we say, okay, I really want to understand about the self. So we explain some things about it. And then we sit, we do some meditation on it. But then, 1 week passes, and we come back to class and remember, oh yeah, last week we spoke to a little bit. How? And we say, did you have some time to reflect on it or to meditate on it? Well, I was busy, everything, and I forgot in this. So, to just keep my attention with it, takes, you know, takes a lot to just stay with it a little bit, not to talk about, you know, a good portion of the time. So the Raja Yoga helps, Bhakti Yoga helps, because easier for us to think of some idea of God with a lot of paraphernalia around it. So then Bhakti Yoga very much helps. Oh, he's in this temple, and I have to pray these certain times and do this certain puja and bring this thing to the God on this day because likes fast these days for the God. Then it helps me because then my attention is already around some, there's a whole wrap around the essence, but slowly, slowly we go more to the essence unless the wrapper is needed. So very helpful. But all these things are helpful in order to prepare the mind so it's subtle enough so that it can look into it and not caught up in other things. So most sadhanas are for this. They'll fall into those categories. And again, it's not a comparative thing or an ego thing. This path is good, the other path isn't good. It's not, it's just simple explanation. Because if you think of it also, we know that the more understanding is the more subtle. Intellect is the subtlest part of the human. We know it's a more, fewer people have the subtle intellectual grasp of something than people that are able to do things and get around. So, you know, you have a company. Who's going to be the higher paid ones? The one with the subtle understanding, subtler engineers and understanding, or understanding of business, because that's also subtle understanding. And the person who's on the ground doing the physical work, physical labor with it. Because it's that's, and that's me more in essence, because I can be paralyzed, but still my subtle understanding is there. Right? We had Stephen Hawking, right? Physically couldn't do anything, but what a brilliant mind. So that is more, and that's much more subtle. That's where I'm going to get understand my essence. So, and the other ones prepare. So the thing is, the from the Vedic perspective, we say karma and upasana. Karma, we have the rituals, everything. And then we turn into our day-to-day life, to our activities. Upasana, subtler. What is my outlook from world in the day-to-day? And if I meditate on meditating on something for making the mind more expansive, more subtle, like this. So those are two, grosser and subtler. And subtlest is jnanam, the understanding. Because understanding isn't something that is, with the upasana still, it's knowing. It's still, there's thought involved. There's still some thought process. Jnanam, understanding, there's no thought process, just clear. When you understand something, you don't have to think, it's clear. You know that, there's no question anymore like this. So clear understanding, clear determination is what he's saying here. So ekeya kurunandana here, from this perspective we're talking about, one needs a clear focus, clear understanding. And then bahushakaha hi anantaha cha, and endless. If you think in any other way, then from worldly things, it's endless. If you any other focus, if you don't have the focus, there's endless branches you can go. Endless. Where so those who don't have this clarity. Because let's say even if what my sadhana is not clear, I'll do a little this, it'll do some good. Very good. Then I do something else. I do something else. And even if I do it and I have some good experiences, I continue with that. I'll have subtler experience, other experience, other experience. Okay. Experience, experience, and then where's the end? Because you can always get to some other experience. And then what? So, because Vedanta isn't talking about having a specific experience, but what is behind experience in general? What is it in through all experiences? Because you're in and through all experiences. Without you, the conscious being, there is no experience. But we're caught up in the paraphernalia of the experience and not of what is who you are behind it. So this is, in this way, what happens in the picture that he's giving here. So this is what he's pointing out in this verse, that without the clarity, endless, endless. So that's why a lot of time in the preparation, yes, sticking to one guru, yes, sticking to one ishta devata, one certain sadhana, because that prepares the mind. Let me just not turn, that's the Rajayoga method, not to waver. The mind isn't wavering. So then it's easier afterwards to look into, because I'm used to the mind not wavering, but looking in like this. But still, that's preparation like this. Preparation to bring to the door, and here, talking about the entry itself like this, we can say. So let's continue. Next three verses are clubbed together here because they actually make up one sentence. So let's just use it as the book has here, 42 to 44. Yami mam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschitaha Vedavadaratav partha nanyadastiti vadinaha kamatmanaswargaparaha janmakarma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam Bhogeshwarya gatim prati Bhogeshwara prasaktanam Taya pahrita chetasam Vyavasayatmika buddhi Samadhana vidhiyate. O Arjuna, the unintelligent ones who are enamored of Vedic statements, who are votaries of heaven, who always argue that there is nothing else, and who are full of desires, speak such flowery words, which are full of specific rites for attaining pleasure and power, and which lead to further births, the result of actions. Clear understanding does not take place in the mind of those who are attached to pleasure and power, and whose minds are carried away by those words. So here, Sri Krishna is giving a very strong censor of the using the spiritual thing, but in the end in a very worldly way. Because I can be, so much of ritualism is done, but in order to achieve something, and usually achieves something which is more for me. I want to be healthy. I want to gain money. I want to have the child. I want my family to be okay like this. Things like this. But the thing is, I want to go to heaven also. Because all these things, they only strengthen my identity as an individual. Even the whole idea, the Vedic model is to live a very simple dharmic life, but so that I can go to heaven like this. Because what happens is, people then say, why do the Vedas, they talk the Upanishads, they talk you're one with that, why do they give these rituals so you can also get riches, and you can and then you can go to the heaven. What for? So the thing is, somebody comes to the spiritual life, and they still have the, as we said, tamasic temperament, not ready to do anything. This, okay, work hard and you're going to get a good house. Work hard, you'll get a good family. Work, okay, then pulls you out of your tamas. Work hard and live a very strict life here or go to the heaven. Very good. So then, even something subtler. Very good. So that's first step for somebody who has tamasic or some rajasic temperament. Good. Then, if you can, when more focused this, then slowly can become more sattvic. Then slowly, okay, you'll get that, you achieve. Where is it coming from that you're achieving? You keep achieving these things again and again, then what? You achieved, now you're not happy with it, now something else. Only then the person will be ready after they've already gone through some of these things. Otherwise, it seems the goal, you know, it seems to be shining. Something seems to be shining, you go after it. You enjoy it, well, it's not shining. Let me find somewhere else. First one has to go through that. If it doesn't go through, how they're going to get some, you know, some disillusionment with it. First have to go and see it like this. So in any case, so a lot of Vedic rituals and other rituals are done for this. Now, okay, I'll die, I'll go to the heaven. If I go somewhere, the moment you enter somewhere, meaning there's eventually going to be an exit. Later he'll discuss about this too. So people are more enamored with this. We say Maya is much more, twinkling and beautiful in this than the Brahman. Like this, because the, what it, consciousness, you know, there's no color, no form, no thought, no emotion. Very, very dull fellow. Very boring. Who wants to be with that? Right? Like this. But this, there's so much, so many opportunities, so much options, so much all this, so it's much more enamoring. So then, of course, when people give the talks on this, people teach how to do it so much. Oh, how great. And heaven will be even greater than here. Swarga just means a better place. So because we try in this world to get a better place, religion says, okay, after the life you'll get to a better place too. Yeah, okay. Maybe we can get, but that'll also be limited. And so this is talked about so much. And again, at the beginning when the child's going to school, and they don't like doing homework, say, you know, you get good grades and we'll go to Disneyland. Right? When they're small. When they're bigger, you don't need to do it anymore. They understand that by studying, they're learning, they're growing. That it's good for them, so that it's not needed anymore. So that's for the beginner in religion. You'll get to something good like this. But then afterwards, it's just for your own good. In the end, you're going to grow. It's not for that. So this is his censor of this whole idea within religion in general. You'll find in all religions, you'll find, because this is a way to start for some people, but then it becomes a trap. Because what happens then is, I do many karma, many worships, I want to do more, get further with the more elaborate. Then I also say I have problems because of some astrology thing, or some karma, or some previous karma. So I start doing things for removing these things, for all my problems, for helping to fix them. Then I get so caught up in all of those things. We can do a few things to remedy from whatever ritual, whatever we do. But then afterwards, I can't do it for everything. I have to just learn samatvam. I have to learn, right? Titiksha, as we were discussing, forbearance, just learn to put up with things because it's good for my growth. So in this way, I can't always be doing. One time years back, some sannyasini was coming from ashram to come to her house for something years back. Now this lady, she was a lot into Vedic astrology. So said, you know, because we said, okay, you come here 10, we have our program, whatever it was. Said, no, I have to leave the ashram before 8 because of the astrological thing, this. I thought, oh my God, somebody's renounced the world, but needs to leave before a certain time on a certain day because the stars, where's the renunciation there? that much, that means you're more caught up in worldly things than being free from them, like this. Yeah, for some big things, somebody wants to have a temple, somebody wants to marry, something okay by the stars to do, or some disease, okay, some puja, this. But then if we get so caught up, and it's endless like this, so then we're more caught up in the worldly things. So this is the gist of what is being talked about here. So it's the sense of karmi, somebody who's caught up in Vedic thing, karma kanda, caught up in all the preparatory things, which, and takes those as the essence, and then gets lost in that. Then they won't be able to move forwards properly in what they're seeking for. So here he gives a few different terms. He says, avipashchit, right? This means one who doesn't have, who doesn't have a proper viveka, avivekinaha. Somebody whose discrimination is lacking, because vipashchit, somebody who is jnani, who has clear understanding. So the opposite, somebody whose viveka is lacking. So viveka lacking, lack of preparation, thinking this is what we're going, you know, religion is for getting to this. You'll find a lot of people that do the, it's not all, but a lot of people that are into all the rituals, priests and so forth, they're not as fond of the Vedanta because that pulls the ground under their feet, because the whole thing, they're doing the rituals to get to something. And it's also living for a lot of people from that. This one is taking the ground under their feet. You don't need that. You can do a little bit for your chitta shuddhi. And if you don't do it properly, okay, the karma pala exactly to the ritual, it's important. When you're doing for chitta shuddhi, you chant just a few mantras, it's good, that's fine. You don't need to have all the rules and regulations. Then all of their whatever they're doing then doesn't have the same value. Again, critique, not, you know, temples are great, priests are doing great things too, I'm not saying that, but here it's a critique of it to understand what it's for, not to, because a lot of people, it helps them emotionally many ways. Many, many good things, but just here, if we want to look into the essence of Vedanta, we have to see things where they are, what they're good for, where they're at, like this. Okay? So in this way. So this is one. Then, Vedava Dharataha. So what happens is, these are people that are very much into the ritual, and the rituals, most of the rituals are a sakama karma. So many rituals, when they're done, you have to say, I'm doing this for this thing. I'm doing this ritual in order to obtain a certain thing. They say that's why Lakshmi is worshipped a lot. Because people want Lakshmi to come their way. But then when they come to other worships, okay, that's also okay. But Lakshmi the most important, because Lakshmi will smile on me, I'll be very happy. So in this way, so one who is very much caught up in this karma kanda rituals in order to get the certain results, and they say na anyat asti iti vadinaha, the meaning there isn't more than this world. The heaven is just extension of this world. You go there, you'll be happy with your family, you'll be with the God, you'll be this. Still, it'll a matter of me, the individual, having a enjoyable, nice time like this, happy time, you know, good time like this. So that there isn't something beyond this, like this. The funny thing though is that the Upanishads are within the same Vedas. And what happens is, if you take a book, let's say, whether it's science, whether it's just a story, if you go to the end of the story, you get the conclusion there. And usually, if you just go to last chapter, you'll get what the main essence that they wanted to give in the story, because the conclusion will be there to show the main point, if it's written well. Scientifically, they'll give the summary. The rest will be explanation, calculation, proof, but that'll be the essence. You go to Vedas, essences, in the end, tattvamasi, the essence. All the rest, a lot of good preparation, different things. So then, Karma Kanda, a lot are going to try to either disassociate Upanishads or try to take the Upanishads and say, okay, those ones are going to be just a, it's just an upasana, aham brahmasmi. Like, you know, you tell the child who's going to have a hard time facing things. Oh, you're brave, you're like a lion, you have all the strength, you can do it, no problem, go for it. Okay. To give encouragement. So to give you encouragement, oh, you're so great, they try to find all sorts of reasons like this and dismiss instead of looking in what it's saying. Look, it goes to the end is going to be what the purport is, like this, but no, dismissing that part. So in any case, saying this is the main thing, you'll get to a good place, that's what. And then what? After that, you'll get to an even better place. Then, even better place, and then what? And then, so, this is what this is saying. And kamatmanaha, kamatmanaha. So, this is embodiment of kama. So, what happens is, we have artha kama, dharma moksha. But what happens if the overemphasis is on artha and kama, then, because artha kama, yeah, part of life, but the overemphasis on that, then that's the main focus. And actually, why the four are put there? There's three in one. Moksha is clubbed together, it's a different category. You know, okay, let it be clubbed together at the beginning so people know. But the other three have to do with the world, samsara. Dharma can be a bridge if you want, but then moksha is a totally separate category. But artha kama clubbed without dharma is the problem. Because then there's no, it's like the flood, there's no border. Okay, this is the, dharma means some border within some limit. But then artha kama on its own doesn't take anywhere, it just causes problem then like this. So over-focus emphasis on this. So kamatmanaha, embodiment of that. Because really, if a ritual is just in order to get to some place, some better place, and I'm just stuck in doing that again, again, keep staying, then it's endless. It's really just running after artha kama like this. Yeah, using dharma for artha kama. Using my dharma to get to punya to go to heaven is, I want to get to a better place. I want the bigger house. I want the bigger job. I want to live in a better place like this. It can be clubbed together with that too. Because it still is... Although talking about otherworldly, it still is worldly desire, you can say like this. So this is what's being pointed out by this. Swargaparaha, that have endless ambition to get to something, something better. If you think about it, there's a nice saying they say like this, because I want many things. Start making a list of everything I want, right? The longer the list, the farther away I'm from Atma, farther away from the truth, the longer the list. Because I'm going to be focused on that list all the time. Where does it end? So, never-ending story like that. I wonder, whenever that term never-ending story comes, I'm wondering that kid's story they've made some movie about it years back, never-ending story, where that term came, where they got the idea from, because samsara is never-ending story. Never ending, always next, where does it end? And the problem with the list is, when you have a list, you have a to-do list, right? You cross two things out of the 10. But imagine each one you cross off, you have another 5 you add to it afterwards. The list is ever expanding. So this is the rakta bija, right? Rakta bija, you kill the one, the few 10 drops fall on the ground, and then you have 10 more. I have one desire, even though I fulfill, I go to vacation somewhere. Like we never, for years, we just regular vacation, say, okay, let's plan, let's go somewhere, this, fly this, we never do. After pandemic, first time meeting up with our family, my side of the family, so we went. So in the middle, near where people live, because different countries, so of all places, we went to Montenegro. I've never been there before, never really knew about it, so we went. Very beautiful place, we enjoyed and everything, seeing family. Now, let's say we had strong desire to go there. We went. Now from that, we fulfilled it. From that, it'll pick other desires. Some friends will say, we went to Croatia, look at these pictures. You know, we went to Africa to safari, you know. Oh, we went to Iceland. And, you know, these are real ones that I'm saying people have said, actually, because they're the ones that come to mind. Now, from that, five desires will come to go to five different places. Okay, next year, should we go to Iceland? The wife will say, no. Iceland, that's not, I've heard it's good, but this Croatia said it's really beautiful. We should go there. Then the argument where to go, samsara will on top of that. So in any case, so one desire fulfilled, it grows. It's not that we fulfill desire and then it's finished. Fulfilling desire, then it piques the interest for more of the same. That's the problem with it. So the priest will come and do a ritual so I can go to the heaven and this. Will that be enough that I feel I'll go there? Then we're going to hear I have to do 10 of them. To get to the higher heaven, I need to, within my life, do 108 of them. And then there's, you know, there's different levels of swadagat. This is, but you want the maha one, not the regular. You want to do the, so like this, just the idea. Where will it end? So in this way, this is just something, again, the critique for us to be aware, what am I really looking for? Otherwise, it's the endless, and that's not going to. And whatever it is, as Nachiketas has shown us in Katrupanishad, which actually Gita, so much comes from Katrupanishad, so much of it, that when Lord Yama gives him all the options for all the experiences, enjoyments, all the power, everything, he says, well, look, even if I rule the world for thousands of years, even if all the enjoyments, once that time is up, then what? It'll seem that it went by in a moment. Then what? Then what'll I do? So all these are not what I'm looking for. That's not my interest. So to show the importance of Vairagyam there, that yes, I'm here in the world. Yes, there'll be some artha kama in this, but all those things are momentary. They're going to pass by before we know it. You look back at your life, you know, how fast things went. Just yesterday, I'm talking to family and this. Yes, I was talking, yeah, when we were in Berkeley, when we did this, I think, wow, that's 20, 25 years ago. It seems like yesterday went back like this. So before we know it. So everything goes by, just goes by. So whatever it is, experience, it'll go by. So do I want to hold on to that, or I want to find something deeper that's more lasting like this? So in this way. So the thing of the heaven, let me work hard towards that. Yes, to get to something better. Meanwhile, the chitta shuddhi, the mind is getting more pure by doing that, because I'm not running after many other desires in the world than this. And then, slowly the mind is more pure, then it could be pointed out, you know, if you go somewhere, it'd be very nice, but it also will pass. So you do your rituals in this, but do them nishkama, without the desire to get something, just for purifying the mind, so mind is more pure. The pure mind is the reward in itself. You have your more peace. And then more reward, then you can see things more clearly like this. One time, we were in Berkeley at the Hare Krishna temple. My wife, we used to live near there, and my wife has had many dance performances there over the years. So we were there. The Swami there, who was the in charge at the time, from India. So we were sitting with him, talking with him before the program. And he was direct disciple of Shri Prabhupada, right? Like this, his disciple. So he told us that one time Shri Prabhupada was in an interview. And he was in England interview, and this person interviewing would make people look bad, and they were very concerned. These gurus are very sharp, so they don't get into trouble with those things. So the person said, have you, you're a spiritual teacher, all this, have you, do you know, you know all about the heaven and all these things? Can you tell us, like, tell us what is hell, tell us about hell? He says, yes, I'll tell you, London. And they're sitting in London. So the thing is, the heaven and hell, right now, I want to go to Swarga now. What, later. What about now? Now, if I have many desires in my mind, they're making my mind run around. I'm not at peace. I have fewer desires. I'm content. Now I'm in Swarga. Now I'm in heaven. Why do I need to go somewhere else? I want to change the environment all the time for that. Where if the internal place is ready, no problem. So to delay the worldly and this type of spiritual, beginner spiritual practice is delaying the result. And the delayed result, I can never get there. You can never reach the horizon. Where Vedanta is saying, no, look right now. You know, right now where it is. So yes, action then is delayed result, but action we're doing it again as we'll be discussing the Karma Yoga for preparing the mind. So that I can see right here and now. I want to be content here and now. Do I want to wait to some other place? Is there a guarantee I'm going to go to the heaven and I'll be always happy there? No. But content right here now, this is the thing. And contentment just, it's within me. It's just that I don't recognize it. I'm Dona Viveka, so I'm identifying with the changing mind, which is running all over, and not with Sakshi, who's always my essence is, you know, as we discussed earlier, asanga, akarta, bhokta, right, without limitation, etc., like this. So in this way, taya aprita cetasam, desires always growing like this. And here actually he goes even further. Apahrita cetasam, the mind is pulled away then, that the clear thinking is gone, because what happens if I want things so much, so strong desire for, then slowly if also doing in the right means will also go away, because when the desire is so too strong for something, I'll do by hook or by crook to get something. And then it'll even backfire, cause more problems for myself than what I'm trying to get is worth, like this. So this is in general what this is talking about. And again, Sri Krishna a lot of times says those people, this type of person. So it's very easy to put in the third person. When somebody puts in second person, you're like this, it's very hard for us to do. When I introspect, I like this. But third person is very comfortable to point there. But our introspection has to be, I have to look at myself and see myself, my list of the desires, what is it, what is really needed there? You know, okay, I to do my duty, that's different. That's not action because of desire, right? Not sakama, it's dharma. So then, no problem. So then, yes, I have to take care of family, the kids, I have responsibility to work, responsibility to society, responsibility to study Gita, no problem. Then no problem, but I do because of that, then it's the problem. So it's for me to introspect in myself and for me to grow like that, not for putting anybody down with this. We're all here just, you know, doing our best to grow, we could say, like this. So this is in general what's happening here and what he's pointing out here in this. And so the issue here also is in Karma Yoga, then we slowly want to make the mind more sattvic. So the actions is going to be more for inner purification. The external results aren't as important. Yes, you know, there needs some external result because I need to live somewhere, I need to feed myself, so yeah. Like this, where Rajasika, it's going to be more the focus, the external, not necessarily as good for internal growth. So Rajasika has to slowly become less. And tamasika, which will be maybe can bring the external results, but then it hampers my inner growth. So in other words, externally I can grow, but internally I'm going to, you know, it'll be detrimental. So these are the difference where later on, 17th chapter, I think, goes more detail in. But in this thing, that this is slowly how the actions have to be more sattvic then. That prepares the mind like this. One person we know, their son, his name is Sattvik. Very nice. An excellent name to live, nice name to try to live up to. First time I heard somebody with that name like this. So in this way, slowly, too, for purification. So I think this is as far as we'll go. The next verse we'll continue next time because our time has pretty much almost reached the end. So let's conclude here. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.